What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Kill Shot DFS Army's DFS focused MMA / UFC breakdown podcast. Today, we're taking a look at UFC Fight Night 240. It's a lot of fight nights, guys. Allen versus Curtis, number two.
UFC 300 Eve is what we should call this fucking card. Yeah.
That's or, what we or, should. For my Jewish friends, Erev UFC 300. That's right. That's right.
I got I'm nodding because I just take your word for it.
All we care about is
you know week. I'm with it, but I'd prefer not to get, you know.
We don't want to get too into it. That's okay.
Hate
That's
speech right. thrown at me, but yeah, I'm down.
That's all right. Don't be shy. So we are breaking down. Allen and Curtis, they're meeting again. It's going to be the same as the last time?
God, I hope not.
Probably.
Dear MMA gods, Chris Curtis is a motherfucking douchebag. Please let him get knocked the fuck out. No, I know. Kevin, I agree with you. We'll go over it. I'm saying, I'm just asking the MMA gods for a favor. Not my prediction. I just want him, like, if there was a mid-fight cancellation because Chris Curtis is throwing up in the back, in the back, I'd probably smile.
I'm just going to say this as a disclaimer. The opinions of the hosts are not those of DFS Army or anybody related to DFS Army.
Anybody with the brain should know Chris Curtis is an asshole.
I'm just saying that. Just saying that. I have nothing against Chris Curtis.
He's a motherfucker.
One way or another. So getting into it, you know, it's an interesting card. A lot of underdogs, I think, that are live on this card. Not a lot of, unlike last week we had the pay-up options that look sexy, right? You wanted to save some salary, play a couple dogs, crush that kill shot. Chris Meidman, what? That's right. Won that shit. Cash that bet. Cash the vet, Verna Jandaroba. Cash it, plus money. Cash the bet, Manon Fiorot, plus money. Cha-ching. The only thing that fucked me last week was what I believe was Vicente Luque throwing the fight, making a little extra money.
That, like, we were there. Like, I was there. It was, we were, everybody I was sitting here was just looking at each other going, what did we just watch? And I'm sure it was the same for you guys watching ESPN Plus, but I'm there. Like, I shared by, that was a small ass venue. It was weird, but shared by the thousands of people that were there. We were all looking at each other going, I don't, does anybody know what happened?
There were two weird things in that card. There was also a hip knockout that I don't even know what the fuck that was. I watched it over and over again.
Did you see his head? He had a giant fucking
I did
gash.
See the gash, but like, what do you have, razors in your hips? Like, you can smash your head against the hip so hard you can actually draw blood. Like, I can't even understand how that happened still now. I watched it over and over and over
again. Well, we knew Malkoon was a dirty cheater. Now he's sharpening his hips. I mean, come on, bro.
The weirdest part of that fight is the way Malkoon celebrated afterwards. Like, he fucking just knocked out John Jones. Like, can we?
No, yeah, I didn't think Malkoon was going to win. Whatever. All right. That was a weird one, but I'll take three underdog bets cashing on the same card. And I think we're going to get three more going.
The problem with this card is there's tons of dogs. They're not in the payout. The 9K range isn't very sexy, but all your mid-range fights kind of suck. And the middle, like the mid eights and mid sevens, you take all the dogs. So where the fuck are you spending the money this week?
That's how it's different. Apparently, we're going to be spending up on Josh Van because I don't know. But that is how this card sets up. Like, you have more salary than what you need, and you better hope that Walter, whatever his name is, Walter Walker, you know, puts up a monster score because he's the only guy you got to pay up for. But let's start at the bottom. We're going to work our way up to the top of the card. We're going to go through every fight on the card. We're going to talk fantasy DFS / DraftKings FanDuel angles. We'll make our predictions, but we're focused here on how to create amazing lineups on DraftKings, how to take down tournaments, and all of that. I think I did pretty well.
You said Josh Van. He hasn't been added to the DraftKings pool yet, has he?
I have not seen him on the pool, yeah, but
he dropped out. Hold on. What happened?
Oh, is that fight not happening?
Yeah, that fight's gone, right?
The only switcheroo I've seen is Pedro Falcon coming in to fight.
Yeah, Victor Hugo, because Haile Adetang is out.
Yeah,
we do not have we do not have odds for that fight, or I don't have odds for that fight at the moment. Let me actually refresh and see.
We have odds. We don't have props.
Odds did come out for that one. Okay.
Yeah, it's like -130 Hugo.
All right. Well, let's get right into it, guys. Earlier. Let's just jump into this thing. and let's see how this goes. So getting at the top of the card here, we've got Melissa Dixon, the favorite, taking on Nora Cornhole, or as I like to call her, Cornhole.
I knew you were going to say that.
At plus 270, right? This fight has a goes the distance prop of minus 215. So we are expecting a fight that goes to decision, 2-1 odds that happens. Monk, tell me about these ladies.
Well, first of all, Melissa Mullins really screwed us by changing her name from Dixon to Mullins, because now we don't have the Dixon Cornhole fight that we were all looking forward to as content creators. Now it's Mullins and Cornhole, and that, what does that even mean? Nothing. I'm probably with the Mullins side here. 9,300 seems kind of wild, especially, excuse me, Cornhole coming off of that win in air quotes, the biggest air quotes of all time, when she beat Jocelyn Edwards by decision, even though Jocelyn took her down, controlled her for over half the fight.
I don't want to talk about this because I bet Josie. I don't.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you should take that money, but then slink away quietly and hope no one notices. Yeah, that was crazy. But that said, Cornhole didn't do anything. She landed 40 strikes in 15 minutes, which is 2.6 per minute. No takedowns, controlled 14. She did nothing. Ended up with 73 points somehow. It's a big nothing all around. Mullins, I think she looked okay against Russian Ronda, but she didn't score any points either, and she got knocked down, taken down. Ended up with more of the control time because she got back up, but still, I'm gonna have to see it from one of these girls. I'm picking Mullins. I don't know, man. There might be a lot of salary left on the table because I don't know. 9,300 for Mullins sounds crazy.
I don't see any, and there's no realm where I have any interest in paying 9,300 for Mullins. She does nothing that scores well. Sniper, how does she score well?
She wrestle fucks.
She don't wrestle.
She, in this fight though, so make sure I'm thinking of the right fight here.
Melissa, I mean, this girl has not gone for a takedown in the UFC.
She ain't doing that.
Oh, that's, well, I actually think she can wrestle. She did not wrestle against Arena Alexeva, right? She didn't wrestle in that fight. I remember going back and I watched some tape. She can, and I think will wrestle in this fight against Cornhole, who got taken down 5 times by Jocelyn Edwards.
Who doesn't wrestle either.
Right. So just because she didn't do it last time out, the one UFC fight people have stats for, doesn't mean she can't do it. If you go watch other fights, she can do it. She can wrestle. It seems like a really clear path to victory here against an opponent who's not very good. And on this card where I want to play a bunch of dogs, to me, Melissa Mullins Dixon, whatever the fuck you want to call her, is probably one of the sneakier GPP options on the card. And quite frankly, looking at the card in the 9K range, probably the safest for a win up in that range. You got a bunch of fights where the dogs are super live, and you got Walter Walker, who I like for GPPs, but I can take a big fat, not big fight. I should not call that man fat. He's a fucking unit. But I'm going to take a heavyweight debutant. You can argue that Mullins is the safer floor play in that range. I can make the argument. I'm not sure I'm 100% there, but that's what I mean. When it's a great fight to illustrate the card. 9K is weak. It is real weak up there to where I can make a strong case for Mullins.
Let me ask a real talk question here. How do you guys feel about the nose ring thing? The one that goes across the middle.
She's down.
Mullins is rocking.
I'm a fan.
You like it. You're a freak. Yeah. You're a freak, Monk. You like that? Yeah, I knew some people would like it.
She wears like a choker when she's not in the eye. I bet you she does, too.
She's a little goth. She's got a little goth thing happening over there in the...
These guys know what I'm talking about.
I'm flashing back to my high school college days. I'm down for that look, too, Monk.
What's that?
I'm flashing back to my high school and college days. I'm down for that look as well.
You are down for that look, and so are you, Monk.
Oh yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
You guys outnumber me 2-1. That is attractiveness poison to me. It's a no. That's an instant no from the geek. You're out. I don't allow it.
I'm sure she's fucking heartbroken. I'm sure she's real excited. Me and Munker like, yeah. Like she's
I'm just saying, for me, it's an instant no. Has nothing to do with this woman. Anybody with the one in the middle, I can't deal with it.
I mean, see, I thought you were all about Beck Rollins.
Instant no. Dylan Budka taking on Cesar Almeida. Butka, minus 145, slight favorite. Almeida, plus 125, slight underdog. This is a fun fight here. I think we have a guy who is a pretty good kickboxer starting a little bit of MMA action. So over two and a half rounds, it is minus 170. Am I wrong? Did I get it wrong?
No, he's pretty. He's. I'm surprised you didn't mention yet that he's got a win over Alex Pereira.
Well, that's what I said. He's a good kickboxer. Win over Pereira, right? Similar situation. Minus 170, minus 140 goes the distance. Does not seem that exciting in terms of an early finish type of fight, Monk. It's tough to have numbers on this thing. Haven't had a lot of fights from these guys, but we got a grappler versus a striker, it seems like, no?
It does seem that way. Budka based grappler only in his DWCS fight. He landed 22 strikes in 15 minutes. And that's with controlling 43% of that fight. So there is next to no ground and pound. Did land two takedowns, all that, didn't even score 70 points. Cesar Almeida, I mean, I don't know. What's this guy going to look like? Yes, he beat Alex Pereira. You're going to hear it 100 times. He also lost to Alex Pereira twice back-to-back as well.
Never got finished, though.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's true. No, absolutely nothing wrong with that. I kind of lean Almeida, but that's just because I really like the kickboxing, the high-level kickboxing aspect of him. Buka could come in here and just start landing takedowns. If Almeida gets taken down, what is that going to look like? I personally have no idea. He got taken down three times by Lucas Fernando and still won the fight and actually had the exact same amount of control time as Fernando in that fight, which was a good chunk, 38%. So maybe he has a get up. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go with the super high level or not super, but at least high enough level of, you know, specialist in Cesar Almeida. And we'll see what Dylan Budka can do here.
Sniper, it seems to me that, you know, if Almeida can get back up or stop a takedown here, he's going to have a massive, massive edge on the feet. Do we think he can stop a takedown or get back up?
That's why this fight is so volatile. You're making me guess. I actually think Budka will be on top of him enough in this fight because Almeida's footwork, he seems slow. I'm sure he's strong. He doesn't move with urgency really. It's kind of is a little bit plodding. He can knock the fuck out of Budka, but I think Budka will get takedowns. And I think there's another fight I'm going to break down similarly, whereas, and it's higher up, way higher up in the card. As long as Budka doesn't get knocked out, I think he probably wins the fight because even what's interesting is Almeida's the better kickboxer, you know, for sure. More power. I think Budka might actually throw more volume in this fight unless he gets caught looking for takedowns and staring in the mirror. But I think Budka is more likely to throw more volume. I think he's more likely to get takedowns clearly, and I think he can and will. And Almeida's looking for that KO shot. And because of the Alex Pereira, you know, background on this one, I think Almeida's going to garner more ownership than he should. So I'm on the Budka side.
There you go. I'm leaning Almeida here. I've seen too many of these situations where I rely too heavily on the grappler. The grappler just, you know, just gets knocked out. So I think that's really what we have here. You have to imagine that Almeida is a much, much better striker on the feet and will be winning for every moment that he is not on his back. So I'm going to lean that way, but not a strong lean. Another similar fight coming up next. These, you know, it's kind of similar to me. You've got Jean Matsumoto taking on Dan Argueta. Matsumoto is -157 as the favorite, with Argueta coming in at plus 140. So slight favorite, slight underdog. I feel like there's been some line movement on this fight. Let me just see. Yeah. So Matsumoto was kind of hanging around in the minus 200, minus 190 range. And now he's down to about minus 160. So there has been some money in recent recently. Is that your money, Sniper? That you're moving
some of it. I did bet Argueta already.
I did bet also. I already have a bet on Argueta, so there we go. But yes, there has been some money coming in on Argueta. So take that for what it's worth. Monk, what do you know about these two?
Well, I know that I could never, excuse me, trust my money to someone like Daniel Argueta. The dude, what is he even doing in there half the time? Until he's not, and then what happens? Like, he beat Nick Aguirre so far in the UFC. Like,
he got robbed of a Ronnie Lawrence win.
Big deal. Ronnie Lawrence, no, that was a bad ref. You can't sit here and go, oh, Weidman's the GOAT, and then say Ronnie Lawrence robbed Daniel Argueta. That's insanely ridiculous. You're blinder than Bruno Silva, if that's the case. I mean, I'm sure he's wearing two eye patches today. Then got smashed up.
I didn't say that, by the way.
Somebody, I don't know. I heard one of you upper East Coast guys utter that.
Miles Johns. All the East Coast or all the Northeast Coast or Northeasterners look and sound the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's the difference. It's all just one area.
Assholes of personality. I feel
like you're all just poking each other's eyes this weekend in celebration. But yeah, I can't get behind Argueta from a betting standpoint. I don't know how I feel about him in DraftKings, just because he looks good for 2 minutes and then he doesn't look good. He looks like he has the IQ of like Kevin Holland in there when he's letting Steven Wonderboy stand up. Meanwhile, Jean Matsumoto, I think he's more of a jiu-jitsu guy. He's got really good jiu-jitsu, but he's still landing strikes. I mean, 100 strikes landed in his DWCS fight in 15 minutes. Yeah, he had 100 strikes landed on him as well. I just don't know if he's worth 8,800. I'm definitely avoiding this in cash because who knows what's going to happen. This is probably a strictly GPP fight. I don't mind some Argueta in there because obviously Matsumoto, we've seen it before with these undefeated fighters coming into the UFC. It's all a lot of hype, big salaries, and then they get absolutely rocked by a guy that hasn't looked great but has put in the work and put in the cage time. So I'm going to be rostering both sides. I'm going to pick the newcomer because I just, I don't know, something about Daniel Argueta, I just can't put my money on him. But I will have both sides in GPPs, favoring Matsumoto ever so slightly.
Sniper, what do you think here? You put some money on Argueta. You think he's going to be able to get the takedowns and avoid the rear naked choke that Jean Matsumoto is so proficient at?
Yeah, I do. I think Argueta is the better wrestler. I think he's got more pace, more pressure. He's got the UFC experience. I've always kind of been higher on Argueta than most people, and I'm not as sold on the Brazilian newcomer in Matsumoto. I'm just not there. I thought the number was much too high. I thought it should have been closer to a pick'em.
What kind of name is Matsumoto for a Brazilian?
Probably a trans.
As a matter of fact, awesome. What kind of name is Jean for a Brazilian?
Awesome.
I mean, what the hell's going on here? The guy's got a French-Japanese name and he's from Brazil?
And yeah, who knows? Actually, I'm not familiar. Regardless, I'll get to the last point in him. That Ronnie Lawrence win, that was the best he's looked. You got to give him the win. Ronnie Lawrence is no joke, pushes cardio, gets takedowns. If Ronnie Lawrence wasn't going to be able to out-grapple Argueta, I don't think Matsumoto is going to be able to. So give me a dog. This is my favorite dog play on the card.
It's funny. I also took a stab at Argueta early in the week, just to be clear, for the same reasons. Primarily, if we look at the takedown defense of Matsumoto, and yes, we don't have a giant sample size, but 66%, not that good. Going up a guy against a guy who is pretty good at getting the takedowns. And it's pretty simple math for me when I can get that as an underdog. I like it a little bit. So that's why I took that stab. But I actually like some other underdogs on this card. Maybe more.
I like other ones too. This happens to be my favorite.
Yeah, I like it though. I like that you're on board with that one, as I don't feel as lonely doing that. So next up, a blast from the past, Cynthia Calvillo. She's back, taking on Piera Rodriguez. P-Rod.
How is she still in the UFC, by the way?
Which one, P-Rod or Calvillo? Because they're both...
Calvillo.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a lot of losing to be in the UFC.
I met Calvillo at MSG years ago.
Surprised she's not a PFL or...
Yeah. She's lost a lot, but against good opponents... -130 for P-Rod, +110. So for Calvillo, this line has moved a little bit as well. Yeah, there it is. Take a look. Again, look at the line movement chart. Steady money coming in on Cynthia. I think people are seeing she's lost, but she's lost to pretty good opponents. minus 300 fight goes to decision. I'll show you the record of Calvillo, and you know, Monk, like, she's an unexciting fighter, but like, who's she losing to? Loopy, all right. Nina Nunes.
That's not good. That's not a good loss.
KGB.
Andrea Lee, Nina Nunes, and Loopy Godinez are not.
Everyone has said that pretty good fighters, and I look at it and I go,
listen, they're not elite, but they're not terrible. Like, these are fighters who are favored in their fights frequently. Andrea Lee, who are winning fights. These aren't complete scrubs. Like, actually,
like the women that Pierre Rodriguez is beating.
Yeah, well, there we go. So the flip side is Pierre Rodriguez has kind of has actually beaten, I would say,
Sam Hughes is not a scrub. I take it back.
Yeah, McKay Sam Hughes is not that bad.
Jillian Robertson's a monster. That was a nightmare matchup.
Yeah,
you're not going to beat Jillian Roberts. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. Monk, how do you see this one going down for me? Scoring, I guess I see it very poorly.
Yeah, general, I see a lot of Calvillo love. I understand if you're on the betting side, I guess. But what's the line? It can't be great, so why even bother?
At this point, it's not even worth it.
Dude, I was going to say,
if it was plus 155, I could
squeak
out a decision. And at minus 110, at plus 110, it's lost all its sexiness.
Yeah, Pierre has done what she's supposed to do against Kay Hansen and a tough Sam Hughes. But yeah, like Sniper said, Jillian Robertson, she's never going to beat Robertson. That was a nightmare matchup indeed. Calvillo has, you know, fought some good names. Obviously, she's been around a while, and there just weren't that many people in flyweight, strawweight division when, you know, she kind of got started. But since then, like we said, Andrea Lee, Nina Nunes, Lupi Godinez, those wins have not aged well whatsoever. Even the Andrade loss has not aged. Andrade has not won a ton of fights since 21. She might be 500 off to look, but I'm just not too excited. If people are like, oh, I'm on Calvillo, huge underdog, dude, she's $7,800 this week, I might pick her to win, but I'm not interested in this fight in DraftKings whatsoever. I really hate just constantly going after the women's fights for not paying off, because when in fact they usually do more often than people think. But this one,
but not here,
this one, I just think this says this has decision written all over it. I mean, I don't get it.
I mean, the odds makers agree, minus 300. Sniper, yeah. To go to decision. Sniper, this is a snoozer, man. I don't like it.
I'm eyeballing this this Piera line, because if it gets to straight minus one, I think I said in my head, minus 110, I will pull the trigger on it. I have so many bets in this card, I don't want to. But if Piera hits minus 110, I think I'm going to be obligated to where I have to.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, especially like Calvillo. People are comparing Calvillo to Robertson. Robertson is way just physically stronger. Calvillo's wrestling is not there. On the ground, yeah, she'll get through her, but Robertson's a better pure wrestler. And that's where I think Calvillo's going to, you know, struggle. We've seen her struggle on the feet, and while, yeah, it's improved, Pierre is better on the feet. So I like Pierre quite a bit. I've seen Calvillo's toughness, so the scoring, yes, does super concern me. But I am on the Pierre side. I'm eyeballing a bet. And I'll tell you, my favorite part of this fight in terms of fantasy is actually over on Underdog. On Underdog, these two are matched up as rivals. And it's Pierre Rodriguez -2.5 strikes. There are plenty of scenarios where Calvillo wins the fight, but doesn't land as many significant strikes. That line at Pierre -2.5 feels just stupid.
So rivals.
That's my favorite play.
Underdog fantasy.
You got it.
I love it. I love it, Sniper. I like Pierre. I like Pierre to win this fight as well. I'm going to lean on that side. I agree. I understand why the bettors hammered Calvillo again at plus 155, but okay.
Me and Monk wish shame on them. Actually, everybody keep on betting Calvillo so I get a good number. Just keep
right?
Keep on betting.
Swinging so far.
I don't love this for the scoring on DraftKings. Yeah, P-Rod does go for takedowns. She does have a little grappling upside, so that's cool. But I don't know. I don't see enough action, and I definitely don't see a finish. And I think Calvillo is tough, so I don't know that we're going to get a – this feels like an 80-point, maybe 84-point decision.
Was Calvillo the one that didn't get off her stool? Was that against Andrea Lee, end of the second?
No. Was that Calvillo?
I don't know. If it was, then
– might have been.
Yikes.
Let's look that up. I'm curious about that one now.
I think you're right. I should go look now.
Because I have that as ending at the 10-minute mark by KO. I remember her.
I believe you are right.
Somebody not getting up off the stool.
Yeah. That makes me like P-Rod even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I should say I've already switched two of my picks after I wrote about them. I've never, ever done that. This might be a third pick that I switched.
You know what? In her defense, that was a corner stoppage. I think it's listed corner stoppage where I'm looking. And now I vaguely recall her corner didn't let her go out because she was getting the snot kicked out of her.
Yeah.
Not a good look for
anyone. Sometimes I would like to see more, honestly.
Sure.
All right. All I'm going to say is Joanna Jacek had a lump on her head that looked like a grapefruit. And she was still going out there round after round.
But that was a close fight. That was 48-47, wasn't it? That was like fight of the year close. When someone's like, when it's 2016...
Andrea Lee is smashing you.
That's a whole other thing. I don't think that was 2016. I'm talking in general.
Like, pretty good, man. She's better than people give her credit for. All right, this is the replacement fight, guys, and I'm going to. I don't think I have odds for it.
You should. Oh,
here it is. Okay, yeah. No, we do have odds. There it is. All right, my bad. There it is. Pedro Feliciano. You like that pronunciation?
Close enough.
Yeah, taking on Victor Hugo Silva, and we got to pick him. The rare late replacement pick him. I don't know anything about Pedro Feliciano. I enjoyed his music back in the day, but as far as this version of him, I don't know anything about him. Sniper, I didn't even know up until just now that he was the replacement. So I'm going to throw this over to you guys. What do you know about?
You got any stats, Mo? Because I watched one of his fights.
Wasn't this the dude in the Never Ending Story? Falcor, whatever his name is.
Falco, don't talk about Falcor.
No, sorry. Give me, I guess, Victor Hugo.
I'll have emotions.
I was super young when I saw that. That movie creeped me out. Wasn't there some weird rock guy that just creeped me out when I was a kid?
No, the horse dies in the sadness. In the quicksand.
That's not good.
It was it haunts my nightmares. Not my nightmares, like my sadness.
Well, sorry for bringing it up too soon. Too soon.
No, it is.
Falcao. I mean, he did all right. He third round KO in his DWCS fight. 42 strikes landed, just over 3 a minute. 3 takedowns, controlled 50% of the fight. He was also taken down and controlled for about 25% of the fight, but it did end up with 96 points there. Victor Hugo won his DWCS fight via submission. He was supposed to fight, I believe, Daniel Marcos, because I went to add him into my database, and lo and behold, he was already there. So I believe either him or Marcos pulled out. I think it was him pulled out of his last fight.
He missed weight.
Good. Okay. Well. Either way, short notice, the salaries are exactly the same. Nothing changed, even with the replacement. Give me Hugo for a possible early submission finish. In fact, I think on my other show, I picked him for round one sub finish. So I think there's some upside there in an 8,200. I'll gladly back that in a GPP fight. Pedro Falcao, probably a little bit, but he is literally the definition of unknown to me at this moment. I have done no tape study as of the recording of this, so probably have some work to do tonight. But for now, I'm taking Hugo via submission.
Yeah,
I'm looking at Falcao's record, Sniper. A lot of finishes, a lot of fast finishes in there.
Yeah, but if you look at some of the fast finishes, I mean, just 4 fights ago, he's fighting somebody who's 15 and 18.
Yeah,
that's when he's been finished fast, but every time he seems to step up, he seems to lose, or then it becomes decisions. He smashes the cans. And just short notice, I'm on the Victor Hugo side. This becomes a GPP fight. I actually liked Hugo more when he was taking on Alatang Haile, mostly because it was more of a known quantity. Like Alatang was going to try and wrestle. I didn't think he was going to be able to get Hugo down. I thought Hugo was going to piece him up on the feet. From what I've seen of Falcao, he's can be aggressive. He can get takedowns. I still think Hugo's a little better everywhere. But because of just lack of tape and time and just short notice, I'm not as sure. I'm just going to GPP it and probably go use my DFS Army ownerships, go a little under on Hugo, a little under on Falcao, and move on about my day.
That's fair. I'm going to lean Hugo. I think the last minute stuff with Falcao, and he's coming out of a His last fight was in a promotion called Tough Enough. Like, I don't know. Not super impressed by Tough Enough.
Tough Enough is on Fight Pass, by the way.
Is it?
Yep. That is a Fight Pass promotion.
Oh, wow. they got their hands on some great fighters, I'm sure.
I just clicked on it. You know who the co-main event was on that card? And you know who lost in the co-main event of that card? Was Maki Patolo.
Maki Patolo.
Coconut bombs.
Coconut fists.
Coconut bombs.
That's where UFC fighters go, to go off into the sunset. All right. Next up. Actually, you know what? Do we have any props on this one? No.
You're over 1.5 rounds.
Yeah,
it's not favored for a quick finish.
No. Norma Dumont taking on Jermaine Durandamy. Another line movement explosion fight. A lot of this is what I'm saying. A lot of these dogs are alive.
I got on the right side of.
I hope you're on the GDS.
This one we agree on. Yep.
She got all the line movement, and it makes sense. So fight goes to decision -275 here. And again, this was a fight when I first looked at it, guys, where I was like, huh? +180? Norma Dumont is a heavy favorite. How'd that happen? And it has gone the other way, especially in the last couple days. All the monies are pouring in on Jermaine Durandamy, I think for good reason. But Monk, I mean, start us off with the numbers, the breakdown here. I think we got striker versus striker, but you tell me.
Well, this defies all logic that I usually employ with this stuff. I mean, Durandamy hasn't fought in 3.5 years. She's 39. She'll be 40 in 19 days, I believe. Yeah, April 24th. So 20 days. She'll be 40 years old. All that time off. But man, something about, you know, the taller, the rangier, the more athletic, possibly the tougher fighter, I think is still Jermaine Durandamy over Norma Dumont here. Look, neither one of these ladies scores well at all. Durandamy, you don't even want to look at her scoring defense, but that's just because Amanda Nunes put up, you know, 158 and 159 points on her. But she scored like 1.8 points a minute. That is awful. 81 per win, at least, over her last five. But she is fighting, basically the best of the best. She has one of the highest strength of schedule numbers for her UFC career that I have ever seen, especially in this division, really for any women's division, to be completely honest. I think Norma Dumont is decent, but Aspen Ladd, Danielle Wolf, and Chelsea Chandler are not, and no matter how much I hate her, they're not Juliana Pena, they're not Raquel Pennington, they're not Holly Holm even today. So I'm going with Jermaine Durandamy. It's not like she forgot how to fight. It's not like she's not been training. If you know what her job is, like, she's basically the Mirko Krokop of the women's bantamweight division, it seems like. So give me JDR here, GDR here. As far as DraftKings, this might be a big old pass, but I'll be heavier on the Durandamy side for sure.
Sniper, you get some dog money in on GDR before it moved?
I did. I didn't get the best line, but I didn't get the worst line either. Somewhere in the middle there. I think I got like +135, something like that.
I literally have to crack open my DraftKings app. I forgot which ones I bet on.
So pretty much what Monk said, Dumont, it's striker versus striker. The reason GDR opened up as an underdog and she'd been out for 2 years because she had a kid. This fight was 2 years. This was 2 years ago. Jermaine Durandamy, she's probably -200. I don't know. Well, let me see you fall off before I just assume, especially in this division with a, you know, she's a rangy striker. Now could Dumont probably, I don't know. GDR is underrated power. She's been doing this all her life. She's longer. I think she's more technical. Dumont's strong and physical, so maybe she can close the distance. But if, you know, I don't know, if Nunes wasn't tossing around Durandamy, like Nunes had some, obviously had success, but it wasn't a whitewash. Like, I don't know. Give me Jermaine Durandamy and just especially at dog money. And I'm going to play her in DraftKings. Pretty much any dog you're expecting to win on DraftKings, you have to play, even if the scoring potential isn't great, because if we get one of those cards where just one or two dogs win, they have to outscore one other person to make the optimal. Like, give me Jermaine Durandamy. And pretty much what none of Norma Dumont, by the way.
I don't think this is going to be a card where you lack for underdog winners. Now, you never know. But I don't think it's going to be one of those. I also don't think that I would want to take Jermaine Durandamy here at this price. at plus 110. I really loved it. I think it was a great for whoever got in there. Again, at the plus 150, plus 170. I think the fight is close to 50-50. It's super close. Strikers standing there. They remind me of one another. GDR, tough as nails. So I just don't know how, what she does that's going to score well on DraftKings. There's no finish. There's no grappling. And there's not that much volume. It's a trifecta of bad for scoring purposes. This is exactly what you don't want on your DraftKings ticket. She can land 100 strikes. She's going to get you a fucking 70. That's what you get when you land 100 strikes. It's a decision. It doesn't. There's no knockdowns. Who's knocking her down? But by the way, GDR, what, she went like five rounds with Amanda Nunes. You're not knocking her down either.
She turned Nunes into a wrestler.
Nunes didn't want anything to do with it. But do you understand going five rounds with Amanda Nunes? That's like a woman being in the ring with a man and lasting for five rounds. That's like me being in the ring with a woman and lasting for five rounds.
Talking about fighting or to be?
No, yeah. Like, it's impossible. I would get my ass kicked in like 5 minutes, like seconds, not even minutes. But she lasted for five rounds. This is a tough lady. Hell no. No scoring here. Very bad. Give me GDR for the win. All right. I didn't bet it, though. I just checked. I'm annoyed. And now it's too late. Okay. We're going here. Alex Morono taking on Court McGee. Morono, a minus 290 favorite. McGee, comeback, plus 245. This is a fight I do like. Fight goes the distance. Minus 125. Again, I got some thoughts on this one, Monk, but I think the stats won't look that great for people who are facing. Court McGee usually slows a fight down, except for the last two, no?
Yeah, generally. In the last two, I mean, Matt Brown, who is older, but leads everyone in knockouts, I believe, knockdowns, whatever the stat is, TKO wins. And then Jeremiah Wells, significantly younger than McGee, and that shocked us all when he got that KO. But Wells hits pretty hard. And before that, I think McGee had suffered only one finish loss out of, what would that be, out of his 10 pro losses. So Morono has six KO wins on his record, but only two in the UFC. He's still looking good. I mean, his wins over his last five are not great. Mickey Gall, Semmelsberger's okay. Tim Means is pretty, Tim Means is good. That's aged well, actually. Losses to Buckley and Ponzinibbio also aging pretty well. So he's fighting some relatively good guys. I don't know that Court might. Here's the thing. If Court McGee is in fact dusted two KOs in a row, are we chalking this up? Then I absolutely want to play Morono at 9,200, especially in cash. And maybe even some in GPPs, even though he never scores well ever. Meanwhile, McGee.
What do you score against Cowboy? I'm legitimately trying.
That was a good one. Yeah,
he does have some good scores. Hold on,
that was the first thing in my head.
33%. So, how many wins? I don't even know. 33% of his wins are over 100. So which isn't terrible, but it's one of the lower numbers on the card. And if Court McGee's not dusted, he actually scores pretty well, 3.7 points a minute, and this is over just his last five. So I'm not even taking in when he was a much younger man. 100 points per win over his last two wins, Silva and Brahimaj. Not the best names. But yeah, if he's not dusted, this goes to decision and scores very poorly. And he might even end up with a win at 7K. Could be decent play. But if he is dusted, I definitely want some of Morono. So until I know for sure, I'm going to have to play both sides in a GPP fight. Not something that I usually would think that I'd be doing when I'm looking at Alex Morono and Court McGee.
Yeah, I'm more on the Morono side here. I do think Court is just slowing down. I don't like the fight overall, though. This is part of that 9K nightmare up there. I do think Morono, at this point in their careers, holds the edge slightly everywhere. He's a good black belt. I don't think Court's going to be able to wrestle him. I think on the feet, we've seen McGee have durability issues. Morono's been pretty durable and has surprising power. He doesn't look like the strongest fighter, but I just think he's better at everywhere at this point in their careers. So I'm with enough, like you said earlier, we're not hurting for dogs. I'll be under on Court. And Morono just gets tossed in that pile of 9K garbage.
Yeah, I mean, Court McGee in recent fights, a little more aggressive with his grappling. He used to, like, he kind of has that skill set. And it's not like Morono has the greatest takedown defense or anything, but I just think Morono's just way better than him. I don't think Court McGee may be dusted, Monk. The last two fights, the fast finishes, all right, you know, this guy's pretty good. Jeremiah Wells is not that good. And he's not, who's he knocking out? And like, Matt Brown is old as shit. I don't know. I think this guy is super dusted. Like, I don't want to risk anything. I don't think Morono is dusted. I don't think he's the best fighter in the UFC, but I don't think he's dusted. I think he's young and still fine and in his prime. So I don't know. I don't see Morono losing this fight. I just don't. But you nailed it. Can he finish him early, or is this the Court McGee slow it down, you know, push him up against the cage a little bit kind of thing? I don't think so. I think he might just dust him fast. So I'm really curious to see how the ownership is. I think Morono inside the distance is a really interesting bet here, because you're getting some pretty decent. And let's get the number. Oh, my God. Plus 110 inside the distance. You're getting plus money. Not as much plus money as I was hoping. At that point, you might as well just bet fight. And wait a minute. It's minus 105 fight ends inside the distance, plus 110 Morono inside the distance. That means they're giving Court McGee effectively almost zero chance of winning this fight.
Well, winning inside the distance, yeah.
Yeah, you can't even take McGee inside the distance, because at that point you just have to just take fight ends inside the distance, which I don't mind at minus 105. So I'd probably go that way. I don't need the extra 15 points. Sniper, you're giving a look, but what do you think?
I already went for this fight. I'm on Morono.
Bet it?
Yeah, the odds are weird. I was giving a look because it happens all the time with these, with some of these offshore books. Or
no, that's what I meant. Like, can you bet the inside the distance prop?
I have enough straight bets on this card where I'm not going to fuck with it. If I was hurting for action on this one, sure, but probably
not.
I like the inside the distance.
Morono dusts him early. I probably won't have almost any Court McGee exposure on DraftKings. Probably none.
I'm with you.
All right. Next up, we've got Trevor Peak taking on Charlie Campbell.
Ah, we're talking, boys and girls.
This is a fun fight. A little scrap. Scrappy fighters.
I'm going to go to the Denny's. I'm going to get myself a grand slam, crack open my White Claw, go to the parking lot, and watch these two dudes throw the fuck down.
For those of you who don't know, for the Northeast, Denny's is the Waffle House of the Northeast. For those of you Southerners.
Denny's isn't a thing everywhere? I mean, Waffle House, they know.
We had Denny's in the Midwest.
Oh, is it everywhere? Waffle House is better than Denny's.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close. It's fair. Snipe, you ever been to a Waffle House?
Tons.
What tons? What, do you leave New York ever? Where are you seeing these Waffle
House? I travel way more than I probably should. That's what all my gambling winnings go towards. I travel. I'm going on vacation next week.
Oh, that's right. You're always in Disneyland.
We got to do UFC 300 early. I was in Charleston, South Carolina earlier. I was in.
You're all over the place. All over the place. So you've been to the Waffle House.
Yeah, LA next week. Anybody, I'm going to be in LA for UFC 300.
That's crazy. Trevor Peak is my guy. I love this dude. Crazy is man.
He's still your guy. He's still your guy after the fuckage in the qualifier.
Yeah, no, play no, Shepe. No, not really. Not really. Not happy with him. Fight ends inside the distance is minus 400 here. You have to almost lock button this fight on this card, and you need a side. You got to pick a side. So let's just start there. This is that fight on a card of plus money to go inside the distance. We've got a minus 400, Monk. Can't ask for more. These guys are going to scrap. I watched Charlie Campbell in some tape just going crazy and then just get knocked the fuck out. Like, I think exactly what Charlie Campbell did in his last fight. I can't remember which fight that was.
Isn't that against Christian Duncan?
Alex Reyes? Yeah,
I guess it was against Duncan.
Chris Duncan.
Yeah.
All that.
In the Contender Series fight. That's right. In Contender Series. And he's styling. And then he just gets knocked out. I like it. I like that style. That favors a finish. But, Monk, do you see? I mean, you know it's going to be scoring here, right?
Oh, yeah. The one true triple C, Charlie the Cannibal Campbell. That's the side I am picking this week for sure. I love him at 9K. I'm basically locking him into GPPs. I'll lock him into cash. I'm locking him into everything. I think he's a fantastic option this week. Trevor Peak is, I don't know, I'll say it nicely, less than impressive. His two wins were Muhammad Yahya and Eric Gonzalez. The one time he fought a decent fighter, he got the shit kicked out of him by Chepe Mariscal, who's probably going to get beat by Morgan Charrier this week unless Charrier does something crazy. But yeah, I just think Campbell, yeah, his DWCS fight where he got knocked out was 2 years ago, something like that. He's a super young kid. I think he's going to come. I think he's not a young kid. He's 28. To me, he's a kid. He's a super young guy. He's learning in between every single fight and every single camp. And yeah, I think he's going to come out here and put a show on Trevor Peak here, get Peak knocked out pretty early. So I love Campbell for DraftKings this week in all formats.
Yeah, I'm with you. I again, going to be a fun fight, one to have both sides of, but Campbell is the side I'm picking because look, they're both psychos. They both will go and throw, but Trevor Peak doesn't throw with technique. I'm going to put that nicely. He's a wild man. Fun to watch. You get to this level, man, that's a problem. Say what you want. Campbell was obviously he was pushing for the finish against Duncan and then got caught. Props to him's comeback is, you know, rebounded with some good wins since then. I think he's for real. I think he's violent. I think he's technical. He got caught. It's going to happen. It's going to happen again to him probably against Trevor Peak. I think the Trevor Peak show is we are run. Who? What was Trevor Peak's last fight? That was
Muhammad Yahya.
That's right, Muhammad. Yeah. Thank you. There's one I could not remember the name. Yeah, this is the UFC knew what they were doing here. All right, let's get our boy back on track. And
they fed him, they fed Yahya to him because yeah, people exactly. Like Trevor Peak.
And Duncan's not a world beater, but he's better than that guy. And I said that guy because I had to remember, I had to have his name looked up again because I already forgot.
Let me tell you something. Trevor Peak, and here's the thing. This dude has a chin. He's got a blockhead. He's one of these guys that is hard to finish. And I'm just saying, I'm not going to ignore him. You need a piece of this, a piece of this card. You need a piece of this fight for the most part in most of your lineups.
65-35.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go 100% because Peak might be such a blockhead that he can't be finished. I'm still not sure that he's capable of being knocked out. So on that note, Monk, there's a video going around of a monk in like China who just was like taking a beating on purpose. Like he's like some, and he's taking a beating on purpose against real Muay Thai fighters and he's knocking them out. It's crazy. He literally just standing like, bam, 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 you know, like hit me. That's like Trevor Peak. It looks, he seems like the kind of guy that would stand there and just put his hands down and be like, hit me again.
Right.
And just like, and, you know, and gain energy like Hulk Hogan style, just like getting angrier with every punch. Like just he levels up with every shot. And he's like, starts walking around the ring going like this. And next thing you know, he turns around and just knocks out Charlie Campbell. So my point is I can actually see him landing that crazy shot with Campbell just going bananas, unloading, him taking it. And then he counters and gets the finish just like what happened in the Contender Series fight. So that's real. That could happen here. But obviously the more likely is you got a real fighter in Charlie Campbell against the tough dude in Trevor Peak. And the fighter usually is going to win in that scenario.
Let's see Trevor Peak and bare knuckle.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Against Mike Perry. Knocking Mike Perry out would ideally.
Mike Perry is massive. Like, what are the weight? Are weight classes not a thing?
They don't have weight classes in bare knuckles. Show up drinking beer and whooping each other's ass. All right, here we go. Walter Walker -225, taking on Brzezinski, +190. This is another fight with a very solid inside the distance prop of, there we go, -200, or good, but not great. And Walter Walker is the younger brother of Johnny Walker. J-Dubs, little bro. but he only grapples. He's the opposite of Johnny Walker. He's a grappling machine, Monk. How many points per minute did he score in his previous fight where he was going for those crazy takedowns? I'm going to say a lot. Monk. Walter Walker. Wait, I thought he was a takedown. Wait a minute. Yeah, okay, we don't have any stats on him. Do you have stats on Walter?
No, he has no UFC fights at all, but I'm about to piss everyone off. So
yeah, you are, because I know what's about to happen.
This is a ridiculous fight. You have to play it for GPP. If this does go to decision, you better have some Bresky on in your lineups. Walter Walker, who's he fought? Alex Nicholson's probably the biggest name. That dude's 15-9. He fought someone with 13 losses, 1-1, 3-3, 1-0, 0-0, 0-0. This dude hasn't fought anyone.
Nothing.
He can't strike at all. And Lucas Bresky might suck, but he's spent 40 or 33 minutes inside the UFC cage. And if one thing is for certain, even if Walker does have some grappling, Carl Williams took Bresky down 8 times. And he was only able to do that because Bresky kept on getting up over and over and over again. Carl Williams, I feel like, is probably a little more solid of an overall game.
Yeah, he's Walter pretty Walker. Dumb about holding people down, though.
Yeah, I mean, Bresky should have won the Martin Boudet fight. That was ugly, but he should have won it. And also, USADA is not a thing anymore, guys. I don't know if you've seen Lucas Bresky's Tapology. I don't know if it's still the same picture, but yeah, he's not going to look the same on Friday that he did in his last fight. So give me Bresky, the cheapest fighter on the card, against yet another undefeated fighter that we have nothing on. I mean, his tape study is terrible. He's Johnny Walker's brother, so that means he's 9,400. Like, yeah, he's huge, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So I'm taking a shot here. I will have a bunch of this fight. I will have some of Walker, but I'm straight up picking Lucas Bresky to win this fight, and I'm going to have way more of him than the field on DraftKings this week.
Sniper, I genuinely feel like Bresky was the worst guy that the UFC could find to try to hand Walter a win here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think
they know what they're doing? They
know. I mean, what's that?
He's not good. He's not a good fighter.
But neither is Bresky. That's what I'm saying. I agree with your take on Walter.
And I'll have some Bresky. I this is probably after Pete Campbell. This is the best 9K fight to target both sides of. I'm just going to be much higher on Walker than you. This is a fight where I can get over on both guys. I'm a more believer on Walker. I do think his size and strength will be enough. Carl Williams is actually a smaller heavyweight, and while he wrestles, he's kind of dumb. He doesn't hold people down great. Yeah, you could say, okay, maybe Bresky got back up, but I've seen in other Williams fight, he doesn't secure position real well. Kind of that wrestler you can get on top, and then he's the guy who wanted to strike with Chase Williams, with Chase Sherman. So his fight IQ is, also Kevin Holland level. That being said, I agree in that we don't know enough. I can be over on Bresky. I can be over on Walter. Lucky for me, there's not a ton of other options there. I make me pick, though. I'm definitely going to take Walker.
I agree. I think this is a fight you want a lot of. I like the Walker side. I love that you're looking at the angle, and I agree with the angle that you're looking at, Monk. The thing is, though, Bresky hasn't shown anything. All he's shown is losing. Like all those minutes in the UFC Octagon.
Lose, no
matter. What happens if this gets into round two, though?
Then I don't know.
Both of them have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, at least Bresky's gone 15 minutes twice.
I'm definitely not laying.
Walker could do that.
I'm not laying -300 on Walter either, because I don't trust him. I don't know anything about this guy because he hasn't fought anyone. But as far as, I think he goes for takedowns. Bresky can't really stop a takedown. I think the UFC is trying to feed him a win. I don't know why they want to feed him a win, but they seem like they want to. All right.
Don't they hate Johnny Walker? Like, what's the point of this exactly?
No, I'm not really sure. But again, I mean, if we're talking about line movement, again, let's just jump back to the conversation. Look at all this line movement. I mean, the money agrees with you. This is not a crazy thing. The money is agreeing with the take that, and maybe somebody saw Wookie Brzezinski and thinks and he's riffed. I don't know. I haven't seen a recent photograph, so I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment for when I see the weigh-ins. And if this guy looks like he's been taking the special vitamins, you know, maybe that is a difference maker. You know, I'm down for that. I'm about it. I want my fighters cheating. Yeah. Preferably. I mean, that's what I prefer. Mm-hmm. Is Josh Van even on this card? Is this fight happening?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard Josh Van's name at all until you said it before the show.
I mean, it's just what's on Fight Odds, but like, I don't see it on, I don't even see it on Tapology. So yeah, I'm going to ignore that one. Yeah,
no, it got Tapology says it out roll cut injury. Okay, I don't even know when that was.
It was more than a week ago.
Yeah. All right. So, a much better fight and another fight where I love the favorite. This is finally one where I feel confident. Well, by the way, you talked before about confident favorite. I think for me, this is my most confident favorite on the card. Nacho Bahamondes taking on Christos Giagos. Nacho's coming in -320. Giagos +270. In this case, the line movement has gone the opposite way, where the favorite has become even a greater favorite. This is your cash payup, guys, if you need one. This is the safe guy, Nacho.
Here's the problem with that. Click open your Into the Distance prop.
Yeah, it doesn't look that sexy from a
-210.
No, I'll take it.
No. I meant for cash in terms of cash payoff safety.
Wait,
the only way Giagos wins this fight is he knocks Ignacio out or gets an early submission finish.
He's +550 for that outcome. That's about a 18. It's a low percentage possibility. So about 17%, I'm going to say. So like, all right, I'll take my chances, but I think this is the cash guy. And -210 ends inside the distance is actually not bad for a tournament payoff option. Monk, is this the guy we're just locking?
I don't know about why. He's hard to trust, but I like him a lot this week. At first, I was on the Giago side just for that early finish upside. I will have some of him rostered in GPPs, but this is one of the picks I switched. I originally was really high on him and then slept on it and woke up like, what the hell am I doing? I'm picking Bahamondes. I'm thinking he probably finished Giagos because Giagos also has one of the lowest average fight times on the entire card at just over 8.6 minutes, which is super low. And he's had a ton of UFC fights. I mean, even all of his last five that I'm looking at, the longest one is 8 minutes, 43 seconds. That was against Zell Huber. The guys he's losing to are very good. Zell Huber's a good prospect. Thiago Moises, Armin Sarukian. The guys he's beating are not great, like Ricky Glenn.
Drakkar closed it. Ain't that good.
Well, I mean, at least in his last five. He's got a pretty good strength of schedule overall. Bahamonda's not beating anybody great. Did not look good against Ludovic Klein, but that loss has aged well. And obviously didn't look good against McDessie. But I think he's going to look good here after Giagos gasses out, probably after, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. So I'm hoping for an early finish. I think it's a decent cash upside as well. So, yeah, give me Bahamonda's. And if you can... You know, you put Breschke in your lineup, you can get Bahamondes in there. You can get Charlie Campbell. You can get whoever the hell you want in your lineup.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this one, Snipe?
It's not an all-in fight because of what's around it. You have to kind of look what's around it. And you have Campbell Peak right next to it and the main event, Allen and Curtis. So it's not all-in for me. And Bahamondes is a striker. And yes, Giagos has been finished. He usually gasses out. I've also seen Bahamondes kind of play with his food for a while. He's just going to outclass the guy. I do think I'm not going to fade Christos Giagos. I would warn against that. He is a veteran who's been around a while, who's aggressive, and will have a grappling advantage. There are paths here for Giagos. I don't think he's dead as a fucking doornail. There are worse dogs on this card, a la Court McGee, for example. A la whoever the chick is who's fighting Melissa Mullins Dixon, whatever her name is. Giagos has got a clear path here. He's got takedowns. Granted, Bahamondes, you have it up. He's got good takedown defense. But again, Giagos hits hard, can grapple. There's a path. Bahamondes probably wins. I'm going to be fine on him. For me, I'm worried he's getting a little too popular with everybody steaming him, talking about him. I can see your argument for cash games. I get it. For GPPs, I am thinking this might be a place where I choose to get cute. Not where it's going to beat me, but if Bahamundis is going to be 40%, let me roll 25. Let me go a little under and see if I can beat the field that way. I'm not committed to that. It's kind of going to depend how high I end up on Charlie Campbell and Alex Morono and Brendan Allen, the other fighters in that range. You kind of got to tear it out. So I'm definitely not going to be overweight on Bahamundis, though. Just for me, it's game theory.
I'm just going to the stats real quick for these guys. Nacho, almost 7 strikes per minute landed. 85% takedown defense. Yagos, 3 strikes per minute landed. And only a 37% takedown accuracy, although he does go for takedowns, averaging 3 per 15. The numbers say Yagos will go for takedowns, be unsuccessful, and be pieced up on the feet. So that's kind of how I think the fight's going to go down. I'm surprised that we're looking at Yagos as this knockout guy. I don't really see him that much as a finisher. I see him much more as a guy who will grapple his way to a decision victory when he wins. And in this case, I think it's going to be tough because his opponent is having an 85% takedown defense. This is the same exact thought I had on Manon Fiorot last week against Blanchard. Blanchard wants to go for takedowns, and her opponent has an 87% takedown defense. That is a recipe for a loss in the UFC. I don't understand really why certain people are favored. Like when it's the reverse, why Blanchfield was favored last week. It didn't make sense because she couldn't get that takedown. And I think the same thing should happen here with Yagos, just unsuccessful at the takedown and ends up getting out-volumed on the feet.
Same thing's happening in the main event of this card.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that one. We got to bet on that underdog as well. But for the same reason. But before we get to that, Jepe, my boy, Jepe Mariscal, taking on Morgan Cherrier. All right, pick 'em fight. Morgan, just a tiny little bit favored at minus 122. So that's kind of a pick 'em in my mind. Fight goes the distance, minus 175. It is looking like a decision fight, Monk. Middling salaries here for these two fighters. Do you have a breakdown here in terms of scoring? Do we have high hopes for a 100 plus score in this one?
Historically, all signs point to yes. I'm just not sure what happens when you put those two high scoring offenses against each other. Cherrier, he scored 110.5, but against Manolo Zucchini, like, what is that? Like, we have no idea what he's going to look like against what I consider a large step up in competition against one of my personal favorites over the past year, Jepe Mariscal. Jepe, when he gets in there, I mean, he does well in firefights. Trevor Peak, perfect matchup for Jepe Mariscal. Jack Jenkins, another guy who likes to kind of rush in. That one kind of ended up funny with the arm injury, but he did score a bunch of points there. I don't know that Charrier is going to allow that kind of game plan to work out. And if it doesn't work out like that for Mariscal, I really don't know how he's going to score. And at 7,900, I want to play him as an underdog, but he's the second most expensive underdog on the card. And on a card with a lot of dogs against a vet like Morgan Cherrier, who has sent, 13 fights to decision in his career, I just don't know how he's going to score. So I like Cherrier, but I don't know how he's going to look against a step up in competition. And I like Jepe, but I don't think Cherrier is going to give him the fight that we need him to give him in order for him to score well and land optimally. So honestly, I want to play this fight, but I think I'm finding myself pumping the brakes just a little bit. I'm going to pick Cherrier against my bias, but this should be a good fight. Hopefully we learn a lot about both of these guys, but as far as DraftKings, man, it's hard to trust. It's really hard to trust for GPPs, and I'm definitely not touching this in cash.
Sniper, how do you see this one going down?
Pretty much exactly like Monk, honestly. I think Cherrier is better. I respect Chepe. I don't have high hopes for the scoring, and I think Morgan's a little bit better. So that's where I'm going to lean in the fight.
Yeah, yep. not a fight that's exploding for me in terms of scoring potential. Neither one of these guys, Charrière in his zucchini fight did land almost seven strikes per minute, which is nice. No grappling, no takedowns, no nothing. Just almost seven strikes per minute. Fine. Okay. Okay. Volume and Chepe, put up some takedowns against Trevor Peak because he's Trevor Peak. And like, I don't know how you're in there with him and you're not taking him down a bunch of times. Like that would just be insanity. So he's got some decent takedown numbers. Chepe does, he is a wild man. So he does tend to have fights that score really well. Like you said, I'm going to lean Charrière as well, but it's not a fight I'm going to be heavily exposed. I will be market exposure. That's the kind of fight I'm just going to get my 20 to 25% probably on both sides. And just like, I'm not going to let it beat me, but it's not going to be the fight that helps me win this card by any stretch. Co-main event, not co-main event, people's main event. Alexander Hernandez taking on Damon Beatdown Jackson. Hernandez coming in minus 200. Jackson plus 172. Fight ends inside the distance and acceptable minus 190. This one's got me baffled. I don't know how to deal with Alex Hernandez fights at all. The guy is different every time he's out. Sometimes he looks great. Other times he looks like a scrub. I don't know. Damon Jackson, scrub crusher, can crusher. Hasn't looked great when he stepped up in comp. Is this a step up in competition? I'm not sure. He hasn't looked good when he stepped up. What's up with Alex Hernandez, Monk? He always is like a different guy.
Yeah, I don't know. In his last five, it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, he's lost a decent competition. Moicano, Quarantillo, Algio, although those last two have not aged the best, especially recently. He has beaten Jim Miller, and then he beat Mike Breeden before the Moicano fight. So it's like, meh. And then Damon Jackson, he's losing to Ige and Quarantillo and beating, the Pat Sabatini one was a good win, but I think that was the fight right after his brother died. And so he came out like a freaking madman. Nobody was on him in that fight, and he got it done in like a minute. Beat Daniel Argueta and beat Kamuela Kirk. So I really don't know what to think. What I do know is Jackson has kind of a suspect chin. Hernandez kind of does too, to be honest. Both guys have been knocked down. Neither guy scores tremendously well when they win, both in the mid-90s to lower 90s, both right around 3.3 points a minute, both allowing, 3 points a minute. Hernandez does allow more when he loses, but I don't know, man. I'm leaning Hernandez at 8,700. For some reason, I think he can catch Damon Jackson. I just think he's going to find a way to do it, and somehow I think this is going to be a decent Hernandez showing. Like you, I don't really know. I mean, there's a couple fighters on this card that I never know what to do with. Hernandez is probably one of them. But at 8,700, I'm willing to take a shot on the fact that Damon Jackson, his chin might be a little worse than Hernandez. But at the same time, I'm going to have some of Damon Jackson in my lineups because he's made optimal in three of his last six, and he's 7,500. So I'll probably be around field weight, maybe just a bit over on both sides. I'm going to pick Alexander Hernandez, but avoid this one in cash. I'm not playing this in cash at all, I don't think. I mean, this is... I guess maybe some Hernandez, but I'm not confident.
Sniper, has there ever been a guy who came into the UFC like and looked more on the upswing than Alex Hernandez? You knock out short notice, you knock out Benny Dariush, and then OAM, who was good at that time, and like get the win. All right.
That's OAM was good after
too. Two times. He was like a real gatekeeper type of like, oh, you're good enough to truly be like a top 20 guy if you could beat OAM. And then it just got kind of weird with Alex Hernandez. Maybe something got to his head. Taking all those L's, the loss to Drew Dober was rough.
Dober's good though.
Dober's good. I mean, his losses, in fairness, these guys, Quarantillo and Algio are the two, but you got to win over a recent win over recent Jim Miller, who's a good version of Jim Miller. He's better now. I don't know. I'm lost. I'm leaning Hernandez. What do you say? And by the way, other thing, I'm pretty sure Damon beat down Jackson showed up with like much thicker head of hair.
Yeah. So that big fade. Be a man and go bald, bro. Be a man and go bald.
No, I support the plugs.
No. You got to accept who you are, Damon Jackson. This is a lie.
He had a lot of forehead going on, though.
Says the three guys in hats.
Yeah.
Look, I can simplify it a little bit. Just play this fucking fight. This fight actually plays out to me in a way that I just expect good scoring. If Alexander Hernandez wins, I think it's because he tags Damon Jackson early, a la Dan Ige, or the Benny Dariush fight, if you want to go to his fights, and gets a big score. If Hernandez can't get a knockout, I don't know how he beats Damon Jackson. Jackson's got more volume. Jackson's got takedowns. Jackson could hold him down. Like, what's interesting to me is that when I play this fight out, both guys past the victory score pretty fucking well. I do, and when it comes to just knockout or grappling here, I'm going to go with the grappler. I think Damon Jackson can stay conscious. Alexander Hernandez, to me, is not Dan Ige. This is one of the dogs I like on the card. But again, it's not a Hernandez GPP play. Hernandez early KO, not going to beat me because that's his clear path to victory. It's one of those. It's a really binary fight. I'm talking myself down out of slamming in like 90% of this fight. Like, this is one I shouldn't. But every time I play out in my head, I'm like, man, how does the loser in this fight score poorly?
The winner. Yeah.
The winner. How does the winner score poorly? And I guess Hernandez, how does he win a decision? Multiple knockdowns to steal each round, I guess? I feel like I'm grasping for score.
No,
for
straws. I don't know if I agree with you on the volume side. I don't know. You know, Hernandez has good volume. He's landing 4.5 strikes per minute.
Go watch the Trinaldo fight. I can never call him.
No, but that's Trinaldo. Everybody has no volume against Trinaldo. Something about Trinaldo is like, who has ever landed a lot of strikes?
I just don't think Hernandez, if he's winning the fight, he's going to finish Jackson, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's right. He should, if he's winning, he should get that finish. I mean, the odds makers think that. Let's see here. Hernandez inside the distance, -110. I mean, like, that is real odds to win inside the distance, -110. They're giving him a 50% chance of winning this fight inside the distance. That's real.
I don't need a finish from Jackson. I just need him to wrestle fuck Hernandez, and he's active enough where his price tag, cool.
I like it. Both sides of the fight are very much in play this week in fantasy. I am absolutely leaning. I'm going to lean Hernandez. I'm leaning that way. I've got to go with the odds makers here, especially when I don't have the best of feel. So I'm going to accept that Hernandez should be minus 200. And I think he's a guy that you can have in 40-ish percent of your lineups, maybe 50, if you're MMEing this week. Just with the odds, the salary being where it is, he's somebody that you want to have a lot. I am not going 100% on this fight, though. So if I have 50% Hernandez, it'll probably be something in the range of 35% or 30% Damon beatdown Jackson. All right. Main event. The rematch between Brendan Allen and Chris Action Man Curtis.
Crybaby Curtis.
Brendan Allen is a minus 210 favorite. Comeback on Curtis, plus 180. Ooh, plus money. Fight ends inside the distance, minus 210. And guys, this is a really interesting main event because these two guys have fought before. And Chris Curtis knocked out Brendan Allen, which was a shocker at the time. Brendan Allen wants to go for takedowns. He's a grappler first, striker second. He's done a little bit of like wanting to transform into a striker, and then he goes back to the grappling. Because that's what he's really good at. And Chris Curtis has legendary takedown defense. Sniper, I know you hate Chris Curtis, but my guy has legendary takedown defense.
Really good takedown defense. The problem is I don't really know what's changed since the first time they fought. Allen's been on a big win streak. Curtis is back and forth, but he's not fighting guys who are as good. Or he's fighting better guys. Sorry, he's fighting better guys than
the win Allen. Versus Buckley's looking aged well.
I mean, Allen's winning streak is against guys not as good as the guys Curtis has alternated wins and losses against. I think Allen's.
I mean, the numbers numbers again, Allen.
It's at 92% takedown, dude. He's got to get takedowns here. It is worth noting. I think Curtis taking this fight on short notice. Remind me, somebody.
I do think this main event was made just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's shorter notice than usual. Yeah.
I mean, as much as I hate Chris Curtis, he's probably in shape training. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue here. I just think Brendan Allen's the better prospect. I think this is a nightmare matchup for Brendan. This is Brendan Allen's worst possible matchup. What have you learned since the last time out? I'm going to almost at a principle. It's weird. It's really strange in that Brendan Allen, I think, is the better overall mixed martial artist. It's just Chris Curtis kind of seems to be his kryptonite here. And I'm having a hard time getting my head around that. I'm going to stay on the Allen side. But I think you could stack this one up in cash games, honestly, because I think they're going to be active. You know what? I think you have to stack it up because I don't want to miss out on Brendan Allen.
I just thought let's just run through Brendan Allen's recent opponents and Monk, you can chime in if you want.
Yeah, Monk. I guess to wrap up my part, I'm picking Brendan Allen, but I hate every part of this matchup for him.
Brendan Allen, who's he fought? He's fought Paul Craig, a grappler. Bruno Silva, a man who cannot stop a takedown and can't grapple at all. Muniz, a grappler. Yatko, a guy who is not that great against grapplers. Malkoon, exclusively a wrestler.
Interesting, by the way, that he got Malkoon, that he got that one.
Well, I mean, Malkoon, again, Malkoon's only a grappler.
What were the stats?
That was a terrible decision, also.
I didn't go back and watch that fight, and I probably should go back to the Malkoon fight. Can you pull up the stats for it?
Yeah.
Did he defensively grapple?
He outstruck land. He got 7 takedowns landed on him. Was controlled for 50% of the freaking fight. That's what
I
was worried
about. I don't remember the fight.
Yeah, Malkoon got 7 takedowns against Brendan Allen in that fight. So, but I mean, the theme of his fights recently, he hasn't fought anybody like Chris Curtis, is what I'm saying. He hasn't fought a striker who can stop a takedown. That Yatko is the closest thing to that, and Yatko is not that good at stopping that takedown. And he just knocked him the fuck out. Like, he just jumped on his back, basically. He wasn't able to stop the takedown, and he was just able to choke him out. But, like, I don't know, Monk. I think Brendan Allen just has not looked that. When Brendan Allen's standing and striking, he just does not look as good. Where his superpower is in the grappling side. That's what I see. That's why my eyes see. That's what I see. I don't know. What do you think?
Recently, the numbers, he's looked better. Landed 3 strikes a minute against Paul Craig, and 3 strikes a minute is not good. But that's one of the better numbers we have from Brendan Allen.
And that's against Paul Craig, who also wants to grapple. So he's trying to keep it standing against Paul Craig.
Yeah, he landed 6.5 against Bruno Silva, but that fight was over in less than a round. Chris Curtis is, you know, fighting guys like Imavov, Gastelum, won against Buckley, aged very well, lost against Hermanson. He's fighting the much better guys, in my opinion. Let me throw out this disclaimer. Brendan Allen was the fighter I was talking about when I said earlier that I can't get a fight right for this guy. I literally can't. I was a fanboy of Paul Craig, so I didn't have.
Chris Curtis then. Please pick Chris Curtis.
Oh, I'm picking Chris Curtis here. Oh,
let the streak continue. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I am picking Chris Curtis. I just, with the takedown deep, like, Brendan Allen's not landing takedowns. He's landed 6 takedowns in his past 5 fights. But I think he's going to have to shoot in on them for Curtis here, because Curtis is so defensively sound. He's not a huge outpouring of offense ever, but here we have 5 rounds for him to get it done, stuff takedowns and counter strike. And he's only $7,300. So crazier shit's happened. Hopefully I do break the streak and Brendan Allen, you know, I'm not Chris Curtis. I side with Sniper on this. And my guy Lou bet you we are F Chris Curtis club for sure. But I think he gets it done here in 5 rounds. At least I think he can win a decision. And I'm not sure Brendan Allen's going to have the proper game plan. I don't know. I'm leaning Curtis and I don't like it.
Yeah, I did put a bet on. I did put a bet in on Curtis. I took the plus money earlier in the week. It has not moved. It's still plus 180. So YOLO, right? But for the same reason, I just think, like, all right, striking battle. You really think Brendan Allen is 2-1 to win a stand-up only battle against Chris Curtis? I don't think so. Will Curtis win? I don't know.
And Curtis has a lot of losses, but he's only been finished twice and only once by sub, once by KO.
He's also lost to really good opponents, like the best of the best, you know, Hermanson, who that loss aged really well. Hermanson, you know, crushing Joe Pfeiffer's dreams in the last fight. And of course, you know, he's losing to Kelvin Gastelum. Okay.
I got to please don't bring that around Chris Curtis. He'll cry for 6 minutes about a headbutt.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. So he'll whinge about some reasons why he lost these fight. I don't care. I don't care. I only care about my money. I only care about my money. I put some money on this. I think it's about a 50-50 fight, maybe even 60-40 for Curtis. And you could get plus 180. That is an easy bet. Easy place to pull the trigger. I took the shot. Let the chips fall where they may. If you bet on Brendan Allen, I think you're fucking nuts. I think you're betting negative. I don't care if he wins. You're betting negative EV spot. Just you're fucking crazy. Same thing if you bet on like Norma Dumont or any of that. Like, what are you, nuts? Don't do that. Or the people who bet on Blanchfield. I'm sorry, guys, but you're fucking nuts last week. Anybody who did that. Why would you or lay any kind of minus 200 on almost any female fighter? You're fucking nuts. So with that being said, I like Curtis. I like the underdog. That'll wrap it up for the breakdown. We got a kill shot to go through. We're going to pick an underdog to win this fight. And by the way, a reminder, if you enjoyed this breakdown, if you were entertained, love us, hate us, don't care. Hit the like, hit the dislike, hit whatever you want. Just let us know you're out there. And make sure you subscribe to the DFSR YouTube channel for all that DFS goodness all throughout the year. So we're going to talk about a kill shot for this card, an underdog that will come through, not can, but will come through with a win. Last week, my kill shot, Weidman went bananas. Who had Nate Landwehr?
I did.
Was that your kill shot?
It was.
If you played a kill shot, you won the fucking tournament last week. You needed, actually, I didn't have, you needed Landwehr.
Kyle Nelson.
And Kyle Nelson, who that was the one that prevented
that's what
me.
Got me. That's what got me.
Tournament. Did not expect Kyle Full Nelson to do what he did.
Terrible stuff, but some awful refereeing last week all around. I saw some wild shit in that cage.
It was worse in a while.
My Weidman Landwehr combo, my kill shot combo was looking spectacular up until Nelson got that finish. So I was looking pretty good up until that point. Monk, who was your kill shot last week?
Andre freaking Petroski.
Mr. Hip. Listen,
and that was fine. That was weird. Too,
yeah, I thought that was a good kill shot too. We love Verna Janarobles. So let's get back at it, boys. Kill shot for this week. Sniper, I'll start with you.
Daniel Argueta.
Sniper on the Argueta bandwagon. Like that for sure. How about you, Monk? Who do you like here as an underdog to help us win the tournament this week?
Well, do you want the crazy one that I posted that I'm going to officially take, or do you want the safe one?
I mean, give me both. It's got to be Luka Wookie Brzezinski. And you know what? That's a good kill shot.
That's my
idea of a kill shot is win me the tournament this week.
Otherwise, if you want the super safe, fluffy play, Jermaine Durandamy at 76.
Yes. Jermaine Durandamy is a safe underdog to get the win. That's really my kill shot because I like Jermaine Durandamy. I have a bet on Argueta, so I love that one as well.
I gotta give an honorable mention to. Well, I'll let Geek finish before I mention who I think should be mentioned
as a kill shot.
Yeah,
Trevor Peak underdog.
Someone's got to mention Damon Jackson. That would be my second choice.
I think we already stated pretty clearly that the Jackson fight and the Peak fight, you just need to be all in. I don't even know if it's a kill shot because I don't necessarily think those underdogs will win. But if they do win, they are in the winning lineup, almost lock button.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, keep an eye on those two. I do like GDR, but she is not somebody that I think is a good risk in terms of scoring enough to matter. I think she just gets you an underdog win. And the other one would be like a Cesar Almeida. So I'm going to switch mine to Cesar Almeida as I, because I think at 7,700, that is legal tender for the kill shot. That is underdog enough. I'm going to go with Cesar Almeida instead, because I actually don't think that Jermaine is going to
make score enough.
Yeah, to be optimal. So that's going to do it. We've got a big one coming up next week. All hands on deck for UFC 300. There's like seven UFC main events all in one card. It's bananas. Like Charlie Olives is like on the opening card because it's so stacked. You know, normally you'd have Yuri Prasatska versus Aljo versus Calvin Kattar. Not even on the main card, Sniper.
It's gonna be fun, boys and girls.
Cody and Figgy are opening the card.
It's been at, yeah, Cody Garbrandt. That's the, no one even got into the stadium yet. And Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo are
going. I wonder how
full Cody's going to be asleep.
If those fights are terrible, if those fights are empty, I'm going to fucking have a stroke.
I mean, this is,
it might be too.
Fight after fight. Jim Miller against Bobby Green. Yes, please. Jalen Turner, Renato Moicano. What? How do you choose a fight to target? We're all in on every fight.
That's not how that works, Geek.
Great card coming up next week. We're excited, but hopefully let's take some money down. I need to make some money on this card to blow it next week in that $30 per entry contest on DraftKings, one of the most expensive
it's not even a million maker. It's sad.
Giant GPPs, yeah, though, that they ever put out there. It's only going to cost you $4,500 to max that out, Sniper. That's all.
Yeah, we'll be maxing it out.
That's
I will not be doing that.
That's like 2 weeks salary at DFS Army for you.
Uh-huh. Not quite there yet. Join using my code Sniper, and get me a GPP entry.
Yeah, buy Sniper a GPP entry. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this one. Good luck this week, everybody. We will see you at the top of the leaderboards. Take care.